Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gun Fly.
And this is Dr. Head, and you are experiencing
the horror of the
Radio.
This is Dr. Haid. Is Dr. Haid?
Haid. Oh, fellow inmates, I'm having this weird sensation. It's almost like deja
vu. It's a decapitated head.
Ouija day. Has this happened before? We're going to talk about horror comic books, and this feels like something we've done.
Jerry,
we actually had a wonderful, amazing program for you about horror comic books, but Jerry just fucked things up, and so now hopefully close to amazing, and to bring you the jocularities that you so enjoy. So I will start with just talking about the horror books that I remember as a kid. My first exposure to those horror comic books were probably in the form of Man-Thing, and even before that, Spider-Man, when like Man-Wolf would show up. You know, I remember those episodes, those issues. I would always get if there was a monster on the cover, I would totally get that book. And then Werewolf by Night. I just absolutely loved Werewolf by Night. I love the art, you know, because as a kid, as a monster kid, there, you know, there was one cool show to watch on TV, like on a normal basis, like Dark Shadows. I remember like watching that show, like, oh, there was cool monsters. And on the weekends, there was monsters. But this, having monsters on my comic books, it was a no-brainer, you know. So, but I'll stop right there, and I'll hand it over to let's hand it over to Dr. Tar. Horror comics. Yeah, what are some of your early memories?
I know, they kind of all blended comics together, but horror comics, I remember like House of Mystery. What was House of Secrets? Wasn't there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were all the DC books from the 70s.
Yeah, that was Abel and Cain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was, what were some of the other ones? I remember like a lot of, like Dr. Spectre. I remember the Boris Karloff and Vincent Price.
Oh, those from like Gold Key?
Gold Key Comics. And they were like the short, but
or
they,
Charlton.
Yeah, Boris Karloff.
Charlton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot, and it, technically it's not a comic book, but when they did like the really graphic stuff, when it moved up into like a magazine format, you know, like the Weird Tales stuff. I remember
Tales
that.
Of the Zombie.
Because you could get away with more graphic stuff, supposedly, with a bigger, like a magazine format.
Magazine format, right. You tell more adult-themed stories.
But anyway, I kind of remember that kind of stuff. Which was obviously, it made an impression on me, but just the graphics that I tend towards. But yeah, a lot of that stuff, it's all a mixture. It's not exactly one thing. I just remember a lot of it at one period, like not necessarily monsters, but what was that one with the Indians and the dinosaurs? Turok?
Turok, Son of Stone?
Yeah, there's this kind of weird offshoot, Magnus. You know, so they all kind of blended together at that time, but they were just kind of strange stuff that I thought was kind of cool I picked up.
Professor Feather, your earliest memories of horror comic books?
You know, I don't have any real memory of horror comic books. When I think about it, I never really read too many horror comic books. My earliest stuff was DC, and you know, the standard DC stuff, nothing out of the ordinary. And then when Marvel came along, the Marvel stuff, although like some of the peripheral stuff, like you were talking about the Wolf guy, you know, that stuff never interested me. I just didn't like the storyline too well. I was more into watching movies. Mm-hmm. You know, than reading comic books a lot. You know, the comic books was strict, really, really throwaway, you know, until Marvel and I, you know, Marvel and I grew up together there at the, you know, we were teenagers together, and that was, you know, impactful on me because, you know, I was, you know, that was a whole different aspect, but that was comics, not, and there was no real horror comics involved in
right.
that. I think a horror comic didn't come to later.
Yeah.
Later for me, you know?
Yeah. What's that? Where monsters dwell and
yeah.
all that stuff.
All those carryovers from Silver Age stuff.
Yeah, that was like, yeah.
Yeah, 50s, the more sci-fi, stuff, the yeah. gentle, real gentle horror.
Mm-hmm. And they're intended to be the same thing in all of them. Some Jack Kirby.
Yeah,
Jack.
Some big monster. I am Grog
yeah.
or whatever.
Grog, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, you know, right,
but the monster. I love of the those. Week. I would end it, yeah, going to bed at night, I would flip through those things. I
Oh, they're fun. Yeah, the reprints, when the reprints started coming out, oh, those are great fun. Great fun. Midnight Gadfly, some of your earliest memories about horror comic books.
Yeah, I'm the same as Professor Feather. I was not really a horror comic book fan up until a certain point. I would read them every once in a while because I would get these three packs that were the covers torn off. And so you knew what the first one was, and they would be like, oh, it's the Avengers. I want to read this one. And then, you know, there'd be a House in Mystery and something else in yeah. there, which I come to appreciate more now because those, you know, Cain and Abel, and they always had like the kind of creep show guy, you know, the horror yeah. host. They were like horror
hosts. The horror host. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so yeah. those were more fun than the actual things, because those were not horror to me. They were camp. You know what I mean?
Yes,
they were
right.
like yeah. a lot of the campy movies that we did, which was great. I would say the first time that a comic really started to disturb me was Swamp Thing in the 80s by
when it took on
Tuttlebin and Bissett and Alan Moore. Even today, I like have those. I'll go back and read them. I'm like, this is creepy as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, if yeah. he has yeah. a way of telling a story, and they have the way of drawing things that are amazing. And I have some like off-brand horror comics that he's done, you know, like Neonomicon and all these kinds of things that are very Cthulhu-esque, and they're fucking disturbing. Like, I don't know how he does it, where he writes this stuff and then he finds these artists to draw it, you know. So that's, to me, is real horror. It starts right there in the 80s with Swamp Thing.
Nice.
I have to say, that's probably what, you know, I liked Swamp Thing. But there again, because it was so well written and beautifully drawn.
Beautiful, yeah. yeah.
Beautifully yeah. drawn, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's and to me, if you're, you know, that's a kind of a horror comic.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, DC had a really big run of more adult-themed or more mature comics, like that with Hellblazer, you know, like that. Definitely a lot of horror in there. Sandman had elements of horror as well.
Cain and Abel.
Cain and Abel, yeah.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah, the crossovers. But
Yeah,
pulling from those House of Mystery kind of things. Sandman Mystery Theater, you know, there are a lot of those more adult titles.
Where did Dr. Spectre come from?
That was, I think, I never read or Gold Key.
I just remember, I still see him, but the covers of like the comics and
stuff. Same people who did Magnus, cool. right? Magnus Robot Fighter.
Was it Golden Key?
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
Was that? Oh, I don't remember.
But anyway, it looked kind of cool to me because
Spectre with a K,
psychic detective or whatever he was, protector.
Yeah. And I remember reading these as a kid. I mean, other than like Werewolf by Night, which was awesome, I would get the occasional Tomb of Dracula because reprints were coming out, and that was still around when I was a kid. It was a much more dense read because some of those early ones, it's like, wow, there's a lot of prose, there's a lot of writing in this. It's not eight panels. It's like, holy fuck, I'm reading a novella. But it creates a mood. It's so well written now. I can really appreciate it now as an adult. But I also really, really got into you know, the Man Thing, all the iterations, and didn't realize how cosmically freaky it was, you know, when I read it again, like, wow, this is like really trippy. The language here, it's like, it's just bonkers. But I still like, we're watching or going back to read these horror books because it makes me feel like the kid. I remind myself, like, the first time I saw Manwolf, I was probably, you know, 10, I'm like, or 12, I'm like, oh, or 8 or something, I'm like, oh, that's just really cool. So it just they're just fun to me. You know, they don't scare me. You know, like Walking Dead, while being a very, very good comic book, very horror, it was never scary to me, you know?
Right.
But just really, you know, entertaining.
Yeah, because the true horror of that particular comic was that it was a soap opera.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
But come back, you know, for me to come around, Dr. Head, is when I had my first comic book store, I was able, and we would get a lot of back issues and deal with all that kind of stuff, I was able to go and read all that stuff, you know, that I'd never read when I was younger, and, you know, and kind of caught up on you know, where everything was, and started reading all of the, you know, and then getting up to par with the British invasion, you know. But yeah, so like yeah, Man Wolf and all those, I've read all of those at least.
Oh, what was that? Mm-hmm. What was that? I can't even say it was classified as horror, but it was disturbing. What was the comic book that we got? Had the three ribbons. There was no numerical order. It was like different color ribbons.
Cadaver?
And you could read it in it. Was it?
Cadaver?
You could read it in any order, but it was.
Oh.
Just kind of. And it was based on some child's, like, how it was just. It was very weird. It was
one of the weirdest things, yeah, I've ever owned. I still have it somewhere.
Yeah, me too. Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was one of the coolest things I ever got, because it's just weird. Yeah.
Okay.
Good use of, you know, experimental usage of visuals and text together and you know, yeah.
Very distorted, really abstract stuff. Yeah. And just, yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
I think it's called Cadaver. Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Or Corpse. Maybe it was Corpse.
It wasn't Exquisite Corpse.
What was
that's
exquisite?
What it was.
It was Exquisite Corpse.
Yeah, that's you're right.
Exquisite Corpse.
You're right. Exquisite Corpse. Yeah, very good.
Which made it even more freaky. This is about the same time we discovered Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, Necromantic. Yeah.
Early 90s.
VHS tape stuff, where we were kind of daring ourselves to watch stuff. Remember how we'd get together just like, we just picked this. We'll pop it in there. It's like,
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Luther the Geek. Luther the Geek.
I mean, and I grew up hearing about EC Comics. You know, I read like the Supernatural Tales, like, you know, Marvel did this The Living Mummy and, you know, all these Frankenstein monster. But I kept on hearing about EC Comics and The Tomb of Horror and Vault of Mystery and, you know, all these other ones that they have. And I'm like, and it was your store, Professor Feather, is when you started in the late 80s, the reprints of these books came out.
Yeah.
And they were in color. And I'm like, oh, I am going to get all of these. And that's, I did. Awesome. And I just, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm getting to see these stories and read them about the ones I'd read so much about. Because I had Seduction of the Innocent. I had read through that. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and I knew about the stuff. But to read the story of the baseball players who got revenge on the guy who was like cheating, they, like, you know, I love seeing it, because the way you find it, it's like, oh my God, they lined the bases with his intestines, and they're using his head for a ball and his leg for a bat, and then the catcher's wearing his torso. I'm like, holy fuck, no wonder this guy was freaking out. Like, you know, my mom would have like probably like had me exercised, you know, but she had found that in my, you know, so I got it. But just being able to read those books, those pre-code books, those are always just great reads, so much fun, you know, and like, you know, like lurid stuff.
It's like watching pre-code movies,
right?
You know, there's a, you know, that those are pretty interesting.
Do you remember when Mad Magazine would have those like reprints of their like original comic book stuff, and then they would have the satires on, you know, like the EC comic books, you know, like the Crypt Keeper and all that stuff, but Mad Magazine, and I think it was like
Oh yeah.
I don't know who was drawing it. It was like someone. It wasn't Basil. Maybe it was Wolverton. It wasn't Wolverton.
It was Mort Drucker. Mort Drucker.
Mort Drucker.
Yes, but it had that look to it, and just yes. You know, like, yeah, that was cool. But that kind of, that reminds me of that time being in the horror comic stuff. You know, you'd see that, and, you know, you would have these comic book versions of it. And then, yeah, it was fun. I also remember the magazine. Do you remember Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Frankenstein Unleashed or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was a magazine format. Bernie. Yeah. Which he drew for it a lot. Yeah, he drew a lot for it. But it was a magazine format, so they could get away with a little more. And there was a couple other ones, like Living Zombie or something like that, or Werewolf something. But anyway, they had a couple of them like that. I remember that. If we're going back into the horror stuff, I remember those too. That was kind of like later when I was starting to get out of it, but I would still read them. Yeah, just.
But it's interesting because, for a long time, Marvel couldn't use the term vampire. You know what I mean? Because of the comics code, you couldn't use the term vampire. So that's why they came up with Morbius and you know, all these other characters that they couldn't say. You know.
Well, they had Morbius, the living vampire.
Yeah, but they spelled it with a Y. You know what I mean? Like, that was the way they got around all of it.
Oh, I see. Vampire?
Yeah. It was...
Vampire.
Yeah.
Vampire.
Yeah.
Vampire.
Yeah.
Dracul. As in wuss.
I always liked Morbius. I mean, Spider-Man had those really cool villains, but Morbius looked cool because he looked like a... He like a rock star superhero look. I mean, he very much like that. Yeah, no, I liked him as a kid. I mean, you know, so many of these things I read back and like I can see how silly they were. And like Ghost Rider, that's definitely horror. And the Son of Satan, you know, all those Marvel books.
Oh, right.
All
Son
these,
of like, Satan. The Demon.
Yeah, Son of Satan is great. I mean, the covers just.
I love the Demon. Yeah.
You were the DC, that's Etrigan.
Etrigan. Yeah, Etrigan, because everything rhymes. Oh, no, those are all great. All those horror, those are fun. Yeah, but I read them now, I'm like, oh, and I just still enjoy them. And I kind of feel that kid-like glee, you know, like oh, okay, this is just so silly sometimes. And like, I just accept it. Whatever they're saying, they're creating this world. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You know,
it's perfect.
We need a circle of macaroni. Sure, why not? Yeah, better make it, you know, elbows, you know, or whatever.
I think they keep bringing like horror back. So like when they did the New 52, they had two different series. One was Agents of Shade, which had Frankenstein and all these other, you know, this team of, and they were great. I have them still, you know, I just came across them. I'm like, I got to read these. And then there was another one that was like the Monster Squad or something like that. It was, and then they had Justice League Dark. So it was like all these like undead people that were in their own Justice League. Yeah. And none of those lasted more than like 10 issues. You know, it was like.
I do remember reading for a little bit. I don't even know how many issues, being a little Dead Man.
Oh, yeah.
I read,
Kelly Jones. Kelly Jones and Wrightson both did Dead Man. Kelly Jones fucking like right up there with Bernie Wright. Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, in that quadrilogy.
You're that
good. Four issue mini. Yeah.
And I guess being little, but when I was reading it though, you know, because I came in the middle and I left before there was an ending, you know, but just even that little brief moment that I was reading it, it was, something connected me with it. I remember they were talking about his past being in the circus and all that stuff and just him dying and stuff. But the way, I'm not even sure who the artist was at the time. But yeah, anyway, something stuck with me about that character. I thought that was really cool. Kind of following him and Plastic Man. No one does enough Plastic Man.
Oh, I know.
I think Plastic Man is coming out. There might be a movie. Or at least he's going to be brought in.
They've been talking
If they make him as a crazy fuck.
Oh, no, yeah.
They were going to do it years ago, and they were going to have Bruce Campbell play Plastic Man.
That would have been fucking
that would have been great.
Amazing, yeah.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah, or Jim Carrey.
As long as it's not
Jim Carrey, he's very rubbery. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
And
that's
we call them horror comics, but there's a lot of comics that get horror infused into them. So like Batman often had like arcs that were very much horror kind of things.
Right.
So you had Bernie Wrightson did a bunch of Batman. And it's funny because even as a kid, I would start to respond to like artists and I'd be like, wait a minute, who's this? Why does this look so much different and better and interesting and, you know, whatever? And Bernie Wrightson was one of those where you just immediately you're like, what the fuck? You know, even when he was doing his early stuff in Creepy and all those magazines. Yeah. Just amazing kind of stuff.
Do you remember that? I remember it's a poster, but I know it's probably like a cover or some picture he had. But I remember you could get it as a poster. But it was that where he had the head on the fence post.
Yes, yeah.
And you saw like the lower half of the guy's back holding the bloody axe.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, you don't see that. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
That was...
Yeah, that's pretty, right up there.
That was pretty intense for the time, yeah.
Yeah, but that's right up there with iconic images from like Art Crumb, you know, and all these other artists. Yes. These artists were really like distinguishing themselves. And I like the fact that like we have Bernie Wrightson, who has this kind of old woodcut, you know, masterful detail. And then you get Kelly
Self-taught.
Jones. Yeah, you get Kelly Jones, who clearly is influenced by him, but is simplifying things a little bit and going a little bit more stark. And then from him, you get Mike Mignola. So if you look at those three, you go, okay, and this is, and I love Mike Mignola. He goes, well, I put that style together because I hate drawing backgrounds. I'm like, yes.
I would like, that'd be cool to have a print of his Frankenstein, you know, in the lab. That one picture he has. Yeah.
That whole fucking book.
The whole book is, yes.
It is. Bernie Wrightson?
It is, but
it's a masterwork.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, it is. It's amazing. Wait,
Professor Feather, do you still have your copy?
Yes.
Oh, very cool.
That thing's probably worth the money because that's a first edition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Oh, I'm serious. Yeah, because I don't even know if it's in print right now. Like, I don't know if you can buy it. Yeah. But, yeah, those are great. But, I always.
What about.
Go ahead.
What about Nightmare?
Nightmare.
Nightmare.
Who's Nightmare?
You mean the character?
Yeah.
That sounds familiar. But
isn't that Marvel? Like a mutant?
Oh, is he a villain or something? Or
I don't know. It sounds.
Doctor Strange, maybe.
He's a horse. A ghostly horse.
Well, yeah, I don't.
That's horror.
He's a ghostly horse. That's it. Never mind. We solved it.
A ghostly horse, of course, of course. Famous Mr. Dead.
Am I scaring you, Wilbur?
I remember in the 70s, like when Eerie and Creepy magazines, you know, there's like
adults,
and like Vampirella.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember seeing, like, on the backs of some of my comic books, they would have ads, like, inside where you could order Creepy and stuff. And then there was one where you could get, like, a 6-foot-tall poster of Vampirella.
Yes.
And I wanted that poster, but I knew my mom would tear it up.
Have you seen the inside of Count Gordeval's casket?
Yes, he has that poster. Right, exactly.
That was a nice touch. That was good.
It was fun. No, it's good. But I mean, but
that's funny.
Just,
you said creepy.
Yeah, I remember getting those because it was like Famous Monsters of Filmland. Although not comic books, we're getting into magazine territory, but Creepy and Eerie were more comic books.
Yeah,
and they were
magazine format,
Marvel
but still, still comic books. And so, when I started writing,
and they're the ones that did all the really nasty,
It's a mixed bag on a lot of those stories. I mean, but it was still they were doing something that was a little different and kept that horror, horror
the magazine
going.
Format. They started doing all that really grotesque, you know, just had all the really bizarre,
a lot of zombie books. When the zombie books came out, they were really, really gross.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, and so, that was like,
good.
Oh, I said I had one. It was some kind of something about the living dead, and it was a big mute rotted head on a stake. That's the cover. And I saw that. I'm like, well, fuck yes, yes. I'm going to buy it.
Yes.
Exactly. But it was all, it was obscenely gory.
Yes. Yeah,
I think I got it through your shop, Professor yes. Feather.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably did. Yes.
Well, this, yeah.
Gadfly, what were you saying?
Nightmare is from Doctor Strange, and it's Steve Ditko and Stan Lee. So,
yeah.
Oh, nice.
But I just was thinking Nightmare, and because that Doctor Strange, in a way, is a horror comic.
It is, absolutely, yeah. It is.
You know,
I would agree.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the last movie, the Doctor Strange, something Madness?
I have not seen it.
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Multiverse of Madness.
I haven't seen it. I have
yeah,
not.
It's. They were really pushing for a hard R horror movie.
Oh, really?
I don't think it gets there, but it's yeah. it's dark and it's horrific. So oh, there's really? A lot of horror too. I yep. think you would like it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just haven't. I you know, just on my list.
Yeah, it's yeah. good, and it's again. I love the Bruce Campbell cameos, you know, and his cameo is great. And again, it plays to his slapstick. I was watching some outtakes, like you know, of like him doing the whole thing where he's hitting himself with the dishes and flipping himself over and stuff, and it's all him. You know what I mean? They're like, you watch him just do all that shit. And you hear Sam Raimi yelling out, do this, do that, do this. He does it all. And then just flips himself over. And you're like, yeah, it's good stuff. The whole slapstick of that. But yeah, Nightmare, I remember, now that you talked about it, I remember that. Because I think he was brought back. I think Sienkiewicz did some stuff with him. And there's another artist that can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Guy's just
yeah.
uber inventive, like all the time. Everything you see him do.
Yeah. You know, about the time that your store was up, that was when DC had the Vertigo line was coming.
Yes.
And all these great, you know, a lot of really good stuff coming out of Vertigo. And they had some horror, you know, Bite Club and Vamps. I remember Vamps,
yeah.
the group of these women vampires. And then they had other horror, you know, little mini horror things. So they did quite a lot of that.
Didn't they do the Death offshoot?
Oh, yeah. Death had her own book for quite a long time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, because of her appearance. I mean, that issue of Sandman, number 8,
Sandman,
was like the highest.
Sandman's another one.
Yeah, Sandman definitely has a lot of horror.
Do you guys remember Slow Death? Do you remember that series of Slow Death comics?
Mm-mm. No.
Because Corbin is more of an underground comic, but it was like horror, but it was by Richard Corbin and all these other people. That's different. It's like an anthology type, but they just really, yeah, it was his covers that always drew me into it anyway. So, but
well, that'd be like a
Slow Death,
Marvel Zombies, you know, with Arthur Sadam.
Yeah.
Remember Arthur Sadam with Charlie and Flytrap from Heavy Metal Magazine.
Yes.
There's another one. There's a Heavy Metal Magazine had a lot of stuff that was horror, science fiction, horror.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, that stuff too. That's true.
Yeah.
Beautiful Stories for Ugly Children.
For Ugly Children.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that the one that Mr. Bungle uses for their first album?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, the clown?
Yeah.
Yes. That was awesome.
Very odd series.
Very.
That was fun. That was fun. That was fun. Yeah. I collected that for a while.
Yeah. I wish I had those. I'd like to read those again. Yeah.
I know some guy who might be able to help you with that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We've got the also Blade. Back in the, what is it?
Yeah.
80s was it that he came out? It may even be 70s.
Another Spider-Man character.
Well, and he it was Gene Colan. Mm-hmm. This is one of the
artists. Who also did Tomb of Dracula.
Tomb of Dracula, yeah. Gene Colan.
Yeah.
Gene Colan's considered one of the masters. And if you look at his stuff, it is like the easy gesture of every, the figure and how people moved and were standing and stuff like that. There was like a real understanding of like just what people look like in life. And just loose, you know.
And that his style was
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
A loose style, that's a nice segue. I remember the 30 Days of Night, by IDW.
And that's a killer concept. Like, that is a fucking killer concept. And I think the movie, too, was great. The
movie was wonderful. Yeah, I thought it was really, really good. I think 30 Days a Night was inspired by the Batman painted book, Arkham Asylum, or...
Oh, yeah, McKean.
McKean? Yeah. The Arkham one with the Joker?
Yeah, McKean.
That picture of the Joker, like, just with all distorted. I'm like, holy fuck, that's really creepy. I think that had to be an inspiration for the way 30 Days a Night was done, because it looks like that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, not to that
distortion. Detail,
but and it's very suggestive. It's very, you know, it's a lot more surreal than, like, realistic in that depiction.
I'm trying to think of who the artist is, but Dave McKean did the one that you're talking about with the Joker and stuff, and he was very Sienkiewicz-ish, you know, but there was that whole school. There was, you know, he was also a little bit Bisley, and, you know, so I love when these artists are pulling you know, from all over the place with this stuff.
Now, I love Bisley.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, his
Simon. Oh,
yes.
Oh.
Was it the Nevermores? Or?
Oh, no. Guitar. What was
that one? Oh, I was thinking Brereton. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah. Brereton, yes.
Brereton with his... Yes. Was it the Never... What was that one first book? The Never... Not the Nevermores. But I forget that. And Brereton done some really other stuff. His style.
Yes.
It looks weird when I see it on other DC properties. Like, he did a Batman book. I'm like... you could tell immediately that it's him.
Yeah.
But it just does, like, no, I like your original stuff. The creatures that he made, like, that fits. Like, you're the only artist I want to see doing your work, you know? yeah. But those are fun books as well. And, I haven't read too many of the Japanese J-horror stuff, but I know that those are really popular manga. Have either of you guys read any of the any horror manga?
I never have.
What's his name? Shit.
Pete Barbuda.
He did Spiral and all that. He's a graphic artist. He taught himself, which I thought was really cool. And his stuff is really neat. It has a manga look, but it's grotesque in its own little creepy ways and stuff. Like this, he has this one story, and it's drawn in this pen and ink, or at least it looks like pen and ink, you know, this very detailed cross-hatching thing, but he has this sense of capturing something really creepy, like this one thing washes up on shore. It's like this big serpent worm thing, and anyway, they notice, like, inside of it, this translucent belly, all these bodies inside of it. And then they come to realize these bodies are still alive inside this thing, and it's still it's just nice. Like, it's messed
that's
up.
That's cool.
Yeah. No, it's
very, yeah, that's very creepy.
Saying that, some of them are like that. Others are just like me. And then they did, it's just like anything like that. But they did an animated. They did a couple of animated series on. Who did that? I thought. Netflix, maybe, or Prime, maybe Netflix. They did a couple of animated versions of his stories, try to translate those. One was in color, one stayed in black and white. I don't know. I think I've seen like one or two of them, but
like Spider Noir, you can pick which one you want to do.
Well, yeah, they're just two different versions of the same thing, but. One of them was kind of creepy. It was
just
a kid in the wall.
But just to give some props to what we were talking about with 30 Days of Night, Ben Temple Smith was the artist and co-creator of that with Steve Niles. Temple Smith did Fell with Warren Ellis. It's a very Sienkiewicz style, but it's also goes more bizarre. So it's like Stedman, you know, Ralph Stedman, you know, and so there's all kinds of stuff that is crazy with that. And I love that series because they got like Matt Fraction to write a few issues. They got his wife, Kelly Sue DeConnick, to write some issues, you know, and a bunch of other artists that were jumping in there. But yeah, that series, just the concept of that series, and what I love about the movie is it's Danny, Houston, Danny
Boyle.
Houston. No, Danny Houston.
No.
Yeah, Danny Houston plays the main vampire, and they're like these Swedish people, and he's sitting there, and he's like going, "These are not people. These are cattle. These are food." You know, and that's all people are to these vampires. There's no romanticizing. There's no sexualizing of
romantic.
Anything. Yeah,
sexual,
they're yes, like yeah. They're like locusts that come in and just fucking feed and leave everything yeah. behind when they're done.
And coming across, I love the idea of them coming across the Arctic. You know, coming.
Yeah. They stay
from over.
Yeah, they stay where it's always dark. You know, and so when you have 30 days of night.
And they're Russian, right. Yeah. The whole old Russian.
That's the only thing is, like, they got 30 days, right?
Right.
But they go out of their way, and they are spilling so much of their food all over the snow because it is so bloody. There's so much blood left. I'm like, you guys are just pigs, you know. Instead of like, eating responsibly, you got 30 days.
Do? We're vampires.
You're just like spilling all the bowls of food and pouring it out. Like,
Well, maybe they're just having fun too. But no, they don't get to do this very often.
It's not even that. It's that they have no logic. It's just feeding, and that's what he says.
Animal
food, feed. That's all we do. We feed. We need to feed. You know, and that's all they think about is feeding. So, yeah, it's crazy.
I remember those days, the buffet lifestyle.
can't describe it my life right now.
Right. By feed, if you mean by feed smoking pot, then yes, I am there.
I am weed. There. That's weed. Oh, weed. I thought you said weed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we had mentioned Mike Mignola's artwork on Hellboy. It definitely has a lot of horror in that, too. Yeah. And there's the spinouts, BRPD, Lobster Johnson, you know, and the film versions of those. That's one thing I like, that a lot of these horror comic books have been translated into other formats, whether animated or film, you know.
Well, the big one, Constantine.
Yeah, Constantine was great. Yeah,
I forgot about
that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Hellblazer.
Does anyone remember Martial Law?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The
weird style. Fucking. What is that
and
dude?
I like the way it was drawn. I don't know who drew it, but
it's Andrew. Oh shit.
Andrew. Oh shit. I think he's German.
Our favorite Andrew.
Shit. Ah, it's a shit. Oh, I get it.
Andrew. Oh shit.
But anyway, I like that. Anyway. That was toxic.
I'm sorry. Kevin O'Neill. It was not Andrew anything.
Kevin O'Neill. Yeah, that makes more sense. Yeah. Andrew. Oh shit. Just, you know, he didn't go very far.
He had to die before he was famous.
He did. And he's dying right now.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week. Thank you.
That's right. Well, I think we covered most of the bases. We've mentioned a lot of titles and characters. One thing I leave with is thinking about some of these translations onto the big screen and or the small screen. Like, I loved Werewolf by Night.
Yes,
I was just Disney. I thought that was fun. Really fun.
I'm like,
I want to see more. I want to see Man Thing again. Some of the movies have not been so successful. Like the Swamp Thing has just never done very well,
which is too bad because that seems the most.
Yeah, rich. I like the character. I like reading the comics. But, you know, Man Thing is just mindless muck. You know, and as a kid, it's kind of like the Hulk. You know, less thinking than the Hulk. Like, it was incapable of thinking, but just could feel. You know, but the image of it, the look of it, as a kid, I'm like, wow, that's just
cool. Oh yeah, he's one of my favorite.
Yeah, the look of it was just so bizarre and like elephantine, and you know,
saying that before he got into cryptids.
Yeah, like a he was, gas mask with like three trunks, you know, just really and that first cover, I still remember like the burning first issue, like he's, because he's risen out of the swamp, I'm like, yeah, that's worth my quarter, you know, exactly. And
he was like one of the first he was like one of the first drawings I tried to copy. Because I just like that.
It's a fucked up image. Like whoever came up with that, and the fact that they knew when they named it Man Thing, that they're like, these kids won't know shit, and then when they get older, they'll be like going, oh, Man Thing.
I thought the two guys, you know, they made Swamp Thing. Yeah, they were roommates at the time. Seriously. And then they just kind of kept their.
They both came up with the same idea at the same time.
I'm saying that they were.
I think, because I read about that. Who came out first? I think Man Thing came out first, the first iteration of Man Thing. But it was like a month apart, or a week apart.
Really? Kind of like.
Yeah, it was like it was. I mean, it was so close. I don't think it was too far.
And Swamp Thing way passed him when Alan Moore took over, because
Swamp Thing was okay until Alan Moore got it, and then it was great.
Yeah, his ability
he could almost
teleport, because he could go into one ecological thing and come out somewhere else, you know. And then
he expanded that world. He was like the biome.
Yeah. He became the biome.
You're right.
He would create food for people. He would create healing herbs and stuff like that out of his body. And that's like Christ. You know, that's the body of Christ.
Yes, he did become more spirit. Yeah, he did. Kind of transcended all that.
What about Animal Man?
Oh, love Animal Man. Shade the Changing Man.
Grant Morrison.
Shade the Changing Man, yes.
Yeah, definitely horror. The American Scream.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, there was a lot of it, you know, coming out over and up. But it reflects the time, too, because think of all the movies and how movies were evolving at the same time, almost at the same rate. You know, maybe a little behind comics sometimes.
Yeah. That was the one area that Marvel began falling behind in DC, and the writing for comic book readers who were a little older. You know, and DC realized, hey, these guys who grew up with us in the, you know, 70s, they're maybe wanting something a little different by the time that they're in their 20s and or 30s or whatever, you know. And then they started really leaning into that more mature themes. And then Marvel was like a giant completely. They did like the Marvel Knights with Ghost Rider and somebody, you know, it just fell flat. Like, oh, you're just aping DC, which is unusual, because DC always aped Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, you know, typically like Marvel just killed them from the gate, you know, out the gate. And they're like, DC's like, what? What do we do? And it took them like a 15 years to figure out, oh, we got to start doing these, you know. And this is a rare instance where DC was doing better. And a lot of these now have become animated stuff.
It was the influx of the British writers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The British invasion saved the American comic book industry.
Yeah.
You know?
It really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Frank Miller.
We can get into Howard Chaykin and some of the other people too.
Yeah, there were important writers.
That's all.
Yeah,
that's all. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Nexus.
Nexus,
you know.
Yeah, and the horror stuff is still out there prevalent. There's still these horror stories way beyond the Marvel. The indie book companies have all kinds of interesting horror stories.
Yeah,
you know, doing stuff with Lovecraft. You know, just doing takes on things and just allowing artists to explore horror in different kinds of ways. And, you know, it's a comic book read is a different experience than reading a novel, than watching a movie as far as horror goes. But I like a good horror comic book. You know, I like the monster books still, you know.
Midnight Gadfly.
Yeah.
What about your buddy?
Oh, Dirk Manning?
Yes.
Yeah, does a lot of horror comics. Yeah, I forgot.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's
totally... Oh, the Nosferatu that he...
Yeah, well, he did the...
London After Midnight.
London After Midnight.
Oh, that...
Yeah, and he does his whole Tales of Mystery, you know, which
Tales of Mystery,
all,
yeah,
like, you know, horror, supernatural kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of his stuff is horror based. Even he does some space horror too. You know, like I did a coloring on one that was like barbarians against vampires, right? And the flip this is one of those flip ones where you'd flip it over and it was a different, the other half was a different comic. Oh, yeah. And that was Space Hire. I think it was Owen Giannini was the artist colorist for that, you know. It was great. It was, as I said, it was fun to be part of
you,
all of that.
You describing that, you know what that reminds me of? Is that, before you even saw it, but just the name of it, and you read a little description, you remember the what was that, with the John Carradine horror vampire? What was that called? Where they go to the planet, they leave Earth because we've been invaded by vampires, and then they have to go to that other planet. And it's like some Filipino movie that they cut into this movie with John Carradine.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is that? But that's what it reminds me of. You know, they build this thing up, you know, spacemen versus vampires on their planet and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you get this movie. It's just like, yeah, you have to see. It was an Al Adamson thing, if that puts it in any kind of context. But yeah.
And then I did a...
You would appreciate it.
I did colors on a horror comedy by Dirk Manning called Cthulhu Jr.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
And you did horrors on a horror novella.
Very, that comic is very cool.
Death's Head. Yes, The Eye of Samity. Yes, you did colors on that as well.
That's my favorite. Yes. That's my favorite book of yours. Seriously.
Really, thank you, man.
Not because I did the colors on the cover, but because I really... That's my kind of genre, you know, the whole Doc Savage and The Phantom, yeah, and, you know, all those things.
Yeah, pulp.
Is that... Can you get pulp, that movie out there? The Ron... What's his name? Ron Healy? Neely? That played Doc Savage.
Oh, Ron Eli.
You know,
Ely.
Eli. Ely. Yeah, it's Ely.
Yes. Ely, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, you can get it. I just watched it again. I fucking love that movie. It is like it's a kid favorite. Like when I was a kid, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. Yeah. It's so stupid.
I just saw a trailer for it. I think
you read the books. The books are like, you read a book in a half an hour, you know. They're real thin, and they're pulp, man, completely
formulaic. You don't even see Doc Savage for a quarter of the book, you know. Even though they're short, you're still like, where the fuck is Doc Savage? You know, all that kind of stuff. But I own a
send the Savage signal.
I have a whole bookshelf full of the old paperbacks, you know, that I've been accumulating since on eBay ever since I would see stuff on there.
The pulp horror stuff. Pulp horror. Robert E. Howard. Pulp.
Yeah.
The horror. I mean, and H.P. Lovecraft. I mean, you cannot get much more pulp. Even though it's the language elevates the stories, it's still at the end of the day the themes. It's pulp, you know.
Well, that's that would be the difference between Savage Sword of Conan and just the regular Conan series. So Savage.
Yes.
Sword of Conan was a lot more violent, a lot more weird, you know, Cthulhu kind of stuff that was going on, where the normal one that Marvel was doing, was the regular, was just really kind of, it was pulp, you know, not, pulp fantasy. Right.
Fantasy.
Like when they would also sometimes would do the Fafford and the Grey Mouser side stories.
Yes.
Or there's another one, and I loved Fafford and the Grey Mouser. I've always enjoyed those stories. I thought they were great fun. I like the repartee between the two guys, and and they don't always, more often than not, it's not a good ending. Like they lose the money, they don't get stuff, you know. So it's not like, yay, we're winning again.
Just great characters, though, man.
Yeah, great characters development. Fritz Lieber, man.
That dude was the most uneven writer I've ever read. Like, there would be times when he'd just be fucking on, and then you'd read the next one, and you'd be like, what? And then, like, his last novel of Fofford and the Grey Mouser is fucking nonsense. Like, I couldn't make heads or tails of it. And I read it twice, and I'm like, going, this dude was clearly not in his right mind while he was writing this, you know.
I was right there with you, man.
Really? Okay, there you go. All right. Maybe I need to read it 10 years from now.
I understood every single word.
Right. But yeah, no, I loved the early stuff. The short stories, fucking great. You know, the fact that they had the two different wizards that were their patrons, and you know, most of it happened in the city. And sometimes they'd go outside of the city, and it would be even more disastrous when they were outside of the city. I can't even think of what's the city called. Lankmar. Yeah.
Well, remember early on, because we were like very early D&D players, and there was a module and a whole, you know, of Lankmar.
Yeah.
And oh, nice.
There's a whole box set that still is out there. It's still out there, yeah.
It's still out there?
Oh, yeah.
Because they had a problem.
No.
And then they quit doing it, so then they got back and doing it.
Yeah, no, that wasn't the one they had a problem with. They actually licensed that one.
The thing they had a problem with is
we had the Deities and Demigods book.
Oh, okay.
They had a bunch of stuff from Lankmar and Elric as the gods.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's where they got nailed, they made a deal with Lankmar. They couldn't put into Deities and Demigods, but they said, we'll develop a whole D&D pack, which was a box set. So we had the fucking huge map of Lankmar, which we were... Because we were all into Thieves' World at that time, you know.
Sanctuary,
you know, that we're like, oh, city adventures are great. But if you're a DM, city adventures are the fucking nightmare. You know what I mean? It's a nightmare to run that shit.
Yeah.
So much fun, but it's...
Yeah, you have to be like, you're good at improv. Trying to get around a situation you don't really fucking know what's going on.
Which was fun, because once you got to once you knew the place and the characters, the improv was easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
this. You're like, oh, I can, you know, I know who you're
going to be. Yeah, we got into Sanctuary real heavily. Heavily.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. That was a great city for
years,
for that kind of adventures.
And it wasn't this glamorous city at all. It was a fucking dump. Even the most rich parts of the city were just like,
it's okay. Yeah. Some really powerful people there, but
there were, and I loved that I created some characters too that were like the guy that was the magic creator, and like in order to get into his shop, you had to walk into his foyer and sit in a chair, and then the chair would walk you in, and then he'd be in there experimenting on some crazy shit that he was doing.
Yeah, yeah,
or I remember that. What is it, Snipey the vampire? You had that whole arc with Snipey the vampire.
Vampires!
What? Oh, vampires! Yeah.
Would you call?
Anyway,
where's the host? We need the host.
That's way off of the topic.
We need the host to finish this off. Where's the host of this episode to finish this off? How do we end? I don't know how to end.
Ridden with Parasites. The host.
You can find Heavy Metal Horror on Facebook. Oh, sorry. You. And this is Dr. Head. And you've been experiencing...
I think we're having a chrono scene classic infundibulism.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
I just had to take a leak.
I had to take a slump.
Yeah.
That's disgusting, man. I'm getting ready to eat some leeks.
I'm eating some slumps. Extra slump.
I'm going to hump a slump. But don't worry, I'll use a sock.
I heard those were endangered.
After me? Absolutely.
That horse.
And you have been experiencing...
The Horror of Behind the Same Radio.
I'm enjoying.
Unsaneradio.com. Go there. Look at the pictures. Click on the link. Listen to the shit. Download it. Put it in your files on your computer at home. Let your better half see it. And they'll divorce you immediately, because that's just the way we roll.
The Horror.
Tarnfeather.com. Tarnfeather Psycho Cinema on YouTube. Just do search Psycho Cinema and we will pop right the fuck up.
The horror.
That's why I got
Sunday.
That's why I got divorced. Horror. That's why I got divorced. The whore. Or
the whore.
Whore's divorce? What?
Petty fours.
And you can find Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTube's Heavy Metal Horror Podcast, on the Facebook's Montag Lewis One Word, on Instagram. And you could also find every episode right here on UnsaneRadio.com. And We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, family friendly web comic on the Facebooks, written by our own Blue Fez, John Boise.
The horror of the porn.
That's right. And Gadfly will be resuming his striptease class teaching. He'll be teaching at the corner of 53rd and 3rd.
In the pink room.
It's called Stop, Drop, and Pole.
Features Viagra.
By Ravenbrot. It is called Brain Forest. I think we used this fairly recently, but I like it. So. Why does Dr. Char keep zooming in and out? What's up with
he's
that?
Got his camera set on auto zoom.
Speaking of which, it's great to have you back, Dr. Tar. We missed you.
Yes, it is. We missed you terribly.
We did.
Aw, thanks. Thank you.
It's not the same without you.
It really isn't.
I appreciate that, but that's also kind of sad in the same way.
Well, we just prefer having you here.
I just feel better when you're actually around.
Where we can keep an eye on you, yes.